Unprecedented times, and that was so the case too back on April Fool's Day back in 1995, Loz. Would you believe it's 25 years since it all erupted as far as the Super League war is concerned. Now, Kerry Packery joined the ARL in taking legal action against News Limited at the time. Your old teammate, Bradley Clyde, he signed a huge deal with Super League, and the game was torn in two. I mean, do you remember, I'm sure probably... the day itself, you probably don't remember as such, but what is your defining memory of that time being in the game?
Well, I think the defining memory was obviously there was a massive split. There was a great divide in the game of rugby league. At the time, we didn't realise that was going to be the case. We thought at the end of the day, they would work out a deal where both parties would come together and the game would continue on. It was a unbelievable time because all of a sudden the money that was being thrown around was massive, and we were in a situation where we were offered 6 to 10 times more than what we were originally earning. So it's always difficult when someone comes to you and says you're earning X but we want to pay you Y, which is, you know, up to 10 times more than what you're originally earning. So I remember we were in Townsville, and I remember we get a phone call that we had to go and have a discussion with a guy by the name of David Smith, and Lachlan Murdoch at the Townsville Casino. They had a room up there. So everyone individually went up there. I remember walking into a room and they were telling me about what was happening around Australia at that time. We were up there playing the Cowboys. There were people from News Limited that were in Perth, people in Brisbane, there was people in Sydney, and they were signing players to form this new competition. And they explained how it was going to work. They explained what the benefits were going to be, what your pay packet would look like. And then they gave you an opportunity to sign a contract with a get-out clause of 48 hours if you came back to them after receiving legal advice that you didn't want to go ahead with it. So it sort of all unfolded pretty quickly. Up there in Townsville, we had a game the next night, and I remember coming back to the hotel, and we were sitting in the hallway. So when most teams travel, they all stay on a certain floor. So it was the 13th floor, 15th floor, or whatever it was at the old Travelodge, Sugar Shaker up there in Townsville. I just remember we're all sitting there and we were sort of asking when people would come out of the lift, there'd be this massive roar. Hey, what did you get? What did you sign? And we were up talking till probably 2 or 3 in the morning and just couldn't believe the amount of money that was getting thrown around. And again, I remember going and playing that game, and word had got out, and I think it was Michael O'Connor, he was in the dressing shed but didn't want to get snapped, so he snuck out through a window. It was just really crazy times. It was crazy times. And then obviously there was a great divide in the game, and a lot of people lost friendships over it. A lot of people have never never forgotten what's happened, and not prepared to sort of welcome people back into the game of rugby league. People lost their clubs out of it, and it was a tough time. At that particular moment, you weren't thinking about anything else rather than, one, you were going to get very well looked after, and two, you just assumed that the game was going to continue on. It's a totally different sort of world and totally different comparison, but it's like today's environment. I never thought that today's environment, what's happening with coronavirus, would happen here in Australia and stop sport in this country. When we were dealing with the Super League, we just automatically assumed, well, this will be good because both sides will get money and back will come together. Everything will sort itself out. But that wasn't the case. And there was a great deal of animosity there for a while, 25 years ago today, because we signed on April Fool's Day 1995 up there in Townsville.
Yeah, amazing. I was in year six at school, Loz, and I'd you know, it was sort of drummed into us, and, you know, obviously wasn't across the detail at all, but it was just drummed into us, oh, these blokes are leaving the game, they've sold out for money, there's no loyalty and all that sort of stuff. But and that's how, and that must have been difficult to deal with at the time, because, you know, the game was obviously, and a lot of sport was turning professional, and you know, let's face it, the players had had a raw deal for a long time, considering they were delivering the product, but that's not how it was sold to the public. No. So it must have been very difficult.
Yeah. And it was all about pay TV. So in the end, it was all about pay TV. So pay TV was coming to Australia, Optus and Foxtel, and it was about having content. And they knew that rugby league was a massive driver for subscriptions, hence that's what they wanted to do. And then there was obviously a great divide between the ARL and Kerry Packer and Rupert Murdoch and News Limited, and no one was prepared to give. But in the end, they had to, because they realised that it wasn't going to be sustainable to have two competitions, and one would survive and one wouldn't. And they came together after a tense period and tried to get the game back to where it was. I think it's certainly nowhere near as popular as what it was before Super League came along, because I think there's a lot of people that lost interest in the game. But I always say it's always easy from the outside looking in to say, oh, why did you do this? When you're in a situation where you're sitting here at the moment, you're doing your job, someone says to you, listen, I'm going to pay you 10 times more than what you're getting now to do exactly the same job. I want you to come and work for me.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah. Loz, do you think it helped the game?
When you look
at where the game is now,
I think of
a lot of the decisions Kerry Packer made in regards to cricket, and I think of World Series.
Yep.
I believe every past, current and future cricketer owes an enormous thanks to Kerry Packer for what he did for our sport. Do you feel like that with rugby league?
Yeah, well, I think they were on the right track, because they wanted to limit the number of teams. Now, I don't know what teams should stay, should go, but they wanted a 12-team competition throughout Australia. That was their ideal world, and play everyone twice. And I think if you were to start rugby league again, I think most people would look at it and go, that's probably the way to go. Have 12 or 14 teams in a competition and you play each other once, twice, sorry, in a home and away. But again, that's not reality and that's not where we're at. Yes, it increased players' wages, and I think the game sort of became... it just took a lot of time and heartache. There was a lot of heartache to overcome first. And I think the game has been right on track. I think players certainly had a more stronger say in the running of the game, and they were included a lot more in conversations about the game. And we spoke earlier this morning about when the pie increases, it's all right to sit back and say, oh, what are the governing body doing with all the money? But you've got to remember, when there's more money being generated, clubs want more money, players want more money. The administration cost of running the competition, they increase, and so you've got to be really careful with your spending, of course, but everyone wants more. Everyone wants more. I don't know anyone in sport, and cricket would be the same, Clarkie, that the more money you make, the more people want. And whether that's clubs, whether it's players, whether it's admin to run their game, that's the way it happens.
Yeah, well,
no doubt about it.
Yeah, okay.
I agree. But I guess that's why, you look at the negotiations between players' associations and the codes, and that's why, as a player, you've got to understand both sides. When you're signing that deal or when you're a part of that deal, you've got to understand, okay, so Cricket Australia, for example, we fought very hard to take a percentage of the pie. If there's increase in revenue or decrease in revenue, you're a part of it as a player and as a players association.
Yep.
But you've got to also understand, in this instance, you're still that. You're part of revenue, whether it's positive or negative. You're part of what happens with the sport. And I actually feel that's the right place for codes and players to be. I feel you should be. If there is an increase because of what you as an athlete are bringing to the game and what you're doing off the field, and if the sport is growing around the country, then you should be entitled to an increase in your salary. But the same, if you go through something where your sport is not performing, or for whatever reasons, you know, less young boys and girls are playing, then that's all part of your role as a professional sportsman and woman. Once you make it to the highest level, your job is to help grow the game. Your job is to help entertain. Your job is to go and get more young boys and girls playing, you know, your sport. Mm. And unfortunately, there's two sides to that.
Yeah. And again, Clarkie, it depends on what phase you're in your career. Like when you're 19, 18, 19, 20, the majority of sportsmen, they're not thinking like that. You don't sort of think like that until you start to become more mature. And you start to get 25, 26 or latter stages of your career, you're starting to think like that. I think when you're young, you have got that bit of a more selfish, look after me first attitude, because that's what I had. And people might be different, but yes, you want to be with your team and everything else, but your thought process is totally different to what it is 3 or 4 years down the track. I remember talking to my old man about, the options with Super League and thinking, oh, they only offered me this, I could be worth. And he said, mate, wake up yourself. He said, I'm a train driver. I earn, $30,000 a year. And here you are carrying on like an idiot. You know, you need a good kick in the ass and a reality check and, wake up to yourself. So that was good for me to have that sort of grounding and then think, oh, shit, I've never been brought up like this. I've never had money. All of a sudden, I'm changing who I am as a bloke and who I am as a person, But again, I wasn't thinking like that. If my dad didn't sort of pull me into line, then I probably would have got carried away.
Well,
I don't think that's a bad thing, though, Loz. I don't feel like I will never have a shot at any player for making a decision based on
if it's
the financial side, because everyone's in a different situation. People have families, and again, I was brought up with nothing. We had no money living in Liverpool. My mum and dad worked as hard as they could to give us the basic essentials, and thankfully they did. But I don't feel it's about individuals here making personal decisions based on how much money there. I just feel it's the acceptance that, okay, this is where our sport is at the moment, and we're going to have to fight our backside off and maybe take a pay cut to accept that our sport's losing money or not making money, so we're a part of that.
Yep.
And then when things do turn around, then again, these same people that are taking the hit now need to make sure they're there to benefit and get the rewards for the hard work and time and commitment and sacrifice to get their business or their code back to where it should be. And I probably see the same in business as well. You see so many people getting put off work now. If companies can just fight their backside off to hang on and show that loyalty to their staff, as hard as it is, I feel like they will get the repayment, they'll get the reward in time.